I'm very surprised that they went ahead and published the legislation, particularly after they published the heads of the bill. It was very clear that many people in the country are, you know, are concerned about it. And they seem to have gone ahead and published the legislation without any further, you know, dialogue or consultation with people. I think it's a pity, really, that you know, there's not much more discussion and conversation around this bill, even though, you know, they say that this is on the go since the early 90s, and but there hasn't been real discussion about it. There hasn't been real debate, but the positions are not being really debated, and there's no, there seems to be no room for debating those positions in the Dáil. Are no room for debating the positions, you know, for debate between members of the Dáil and the public.
Even in terms of voting for the legislation, Peter Matthews had hoped to look for allowing people or allowing TDs to vote according to their conscience, but that didn't pass.
Yes, well, I certainly admire Peter Matthews. I think he certainly took a very strong stance and a very courageous stance, because there are consequences when people don't vote with the party. And I think it was a pity that he wasn't backed up in the Dáil, because really in any democratic society, people are allowed to vote according to their consciences, and the conscientious objection is honoured. So it seemed to be quite undemocratic, and it's hard to understand why he didn't get support in the Dáil. I'm hoping that maybe, it is known that there are lots of people in the Dáil who are concerned about it, and a number of people in Fine Gael who are concerned about it, and I'm hoping that there will be another chance for people to support that move towards a free vote.
And do you think a free vote would make a difference? Or, I mean, you talked there about dialogue. Mm-hmm. Do you think a solution would be to allow it to go to referendum?
Well, first of all, I suppose to take a free vote, at least if you gave a free vote, you could say, well, this was probably a democratic decision, whether it was right or wrong, you know, at least you'd have that much. But I do think at this stage, because there is so much concern on the ground, that a referendum would be a fairer way. And let the people decide once and for all, you know, and go with what the decision of the majority is in the country.
And yet, I mean, the debate often seems to be polarised between pro-life and pro-choice. And yet a lot of people are not quite on either extreme. They're a little bit more in the middle and might feel that a lot of the issues that were of concern to them haven't been addressed by this legislation, that it seems to not really have addressed where a lot of people find themselves. Because it didn't look at the issues of women's health. It didn't look at the issues of rape or incest. Mm-hmm. It didn't look at the issues of fetal abnormality. Mm-hmm. And therefore issues that are very important to people, or that people think, you know, should have been looked at.
Oh yeah, well, of course the whole issue of women's health has to be looked at within this context. And, you know, I think people who are pro-life in the wide sense are very clear that any a treatment that a woman needs, you know, for her own health and, you know, and to preserve her health and her life is quite ethical.
And yet health and life, the two often get confused or conflated. Mm-hmm. Because when is it, you know, if it's intervening to save a woman's life, mm-hmm. that's one thing. But if it's just intervening to save or to preserve her health, mm-hmm. the people, that was the issue, yeah. Even with Savita, people weren't sure, yeah. When it was okay to intervene.
Yeah, well, I think it's difficult to separate health and life. And I think that is a medical decision. And I think we have to be, you know, we have to have confidence in our medical practitioners, because we have very high standards of medicine in Ireland. And we need to have confidence in our practitioners and allow them to make those decisions, yeah. In the most ethical way possible.
And, I mean, you're also responsible for healthcare. That's part of mm-hmm. your remit. And a lot of hospitals within Ireland would have their foundings in religious orders. Mm-hmm. Will people be making conscientious objections to abortion as it's being brought in now, or as the legislation is bringing it in now?
the bill doesn't allow freedom of conscience to institutions. And that is very problematic, because an institution is actually a juridic person. And the ethos of an institution is recognized. And institutions are not, healthcare institutions are not required to form any procedures that would be contrary to their ethos. I mean, that is, you know, that's generally accepted in democratic institutions around the world.
Do you worry in a sense, though, that the battle is almost lost, because this legislation, it probably will go through,
mm-hmm.
And it may even be a stepping stone. Already there's people calling for more debate,
mm-hmm.
And for the introducing of abortion in other scenarios.
I'm not sure. You know, I fear that the legislation will go through. However, you know, in other countries where the legislation has gone through, people even become more acutely aware of the problem around it, and people make decisions. You know, they're actually challenged to make their own decisions and to stand up for what they feel is right, and even to take the consequences. And I think even if that law goes through in Ireland, you know, that a big number of the people of Ireland will not live according to it. They will live according to their own conscience, and they will live according to the moral law. And they may have to take consequences, but I think we have to be ready for that.